Well, greetings again, friends and brethren. I hope this finds everyone doing well. If you need a title for this message today, it is Follow Christ. Follow Christ. As I mentioned in my last message, that people of God today are running to and fro and following men and looking for men, looking for ministers, looking for the one that's holding fast or faithful. And as I pointed out, based on God's word, you will not find it. You're not going to find that in this day and age, brethren, because that's what God's word says. So the message for today is follow Christ, which is who we should be following. And before I get into that, I want to introduce it by reading this from Ezekiel chapter 12. Please turn to Ezekiel chapter 12. And beginning in verse 17, it says, Moreover, the word of the Eternal came to me, saying, Son of man, eat your bread with quaking, and drink your water with trembling and anxiety. See, this is the time that we're living in, brethren. And say to the people of the land, Thus says the Eternal God, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the land of Israel. So Jerusalem, as we know, is a type of God's church. So this is to spiritual and physical Israel, and we'll see that as we go on. Continuing, they shall eat their bread with anxiety and drink their water with dread, so that her land may be emptied of all who are in it. And why is this? Because of the violence of all those who dwell in it. Well, brethren, the pause from reading there. Can we see the violence today in this society? See, we just had these recent horrible school shootings in Virginia Tech University in Virginia. 32 or 33 young people killed. And I'm amazed at some of these newscasters and pundits and so-called experts and psychologists that are all trying to figure out how to stop this and why it happened and the underlying causes, and every single one of them are wrong. They're all coming up with the wrong answers. And all we have to do is go back to what Mr. Armstrong taught. Remember, this is Satan's world, and the causes of this world's evils today, it's been there all along, the same cause that's been there all along, and it has to do with, it's a spiritual problem. So this mankind, as we remember, has been cut off from God. So living in a society, a so-called open and free society, that has been cut off from God. So when you are in a society or a world that's cut off from God and trying to reason on their own power, then they're going to come up with the wrong answers every time. So the problem with the society today, brethren, is spiritual. It's a spiritual problem. And that's the problem with what's going on in this world today. And this violence that we're seeing escalating recently on TV, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better anytime soon, brethren, so you can gear your minds and hearts for that. Because God's Word says it. It's going to increase. And it's going to get worse and worse as time goes on. You're going to see a whole lot worse than what we saw this past week or so in the state of Virginia. It's going to get worse all around us before God removes us from this society. You can just prepare yourselves for that. That's because it's a world that's ruled by Satan and his evil demons. And he is the prince of the power of the air that broadcasts those evil thoughts and those desires to kill and destroy. But see, we also see violence in God's own church today. So this is physical and spiritual violence being spoken of here, because if you see what's happened in the midst of God's church with his people, when they're scattered and divided, there's been a lot of violence there, spiritual violence. So the violence is all around us right now. This will continue on in verse 20. It says, Then the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall become desolate, and you shall know that I am the Eternal. See, they don't know it yet, brethren, but they're going to know soon. When this society, it's already degrading by the hour, and times begin to get a lot worse than they are now, and it's coming very soon. Time is short, brethren. I don't think we have a lot of time. We're going to see a lot worse in the news soon from what we've seen the past week or two. And that includes acts of violent weather as well. And anyway, we continue on. Verse 21. And the word of the Eternal came to me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel, which says, the days are prolonged and every vision fails? Pause from reading. Well, see, today, many of I got an email a week or so ago from obviously someone who was a former disgruntled member of the Worldwide Church of God, and he gave me this long dissertation about how Mr. Armstrong's prophecies have failed and all these things have never happened that he said were going to happen. Well, I didn't even bother answering the email because it wasn't worthy of an answer, because the man had evidently lost faith and lost the vision. But Mr. Armstrong was always quick to point that he was ahead of his time, just as the other apostles were. And he also pointed out that God was holding back or delaying world events for some reason. And so now we can look back at the history of the last 21 years, and we should be able to see why God held back and delayed certain things from happening in the early to mid-80s. Because we had to go into the Laodicean time period, the time of testing, see? And that faithful man had to be taken away, as it says there in Micah, in the time of testing, to see who would have faith. So now we have 21 years of history behind us and see that got the report for God's people is not good today. That there's not many holding fast at all. There's a few here and there, and more coming in contact with us, and we're growing. It's slow, but it's steady as the word of this website and this work begins to spread, and it's getting the attention of some people now, and some aren't liking it, but some are. Some are waking up, but not many. And it doesn't look like there's going to be very many before it's all said and done. But again, verse 22 says, Son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel, which says the days are prolonged and every vision fails? That's what we see happening today. Verse 23, tell them, therefore, thus says the Eternal God, I will lay this proverb to rest, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say to them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. And see, that's part of what this work is today, brethren, is to declare that. Because those prophecies of Almighty God that he revealed to his apostle, see, they weren't prophecies of Herbert Armstrong. They came out of God's word. They came revealed from Jesus Christ himself to his apostle. So these men that want to dispute with Mr. Armstrong are disputing with God Almighty. And so it's going to stop. That proverb is going to be put to rest when these prophecies begin to be fulfilled very soon. And they're going to be, as it says here, read up here in verse 19, they're going to be eating their bread with anxiety and drink their water with dread. See, that's what's going to happen soon when these prophecies begin to be fulfilled. People are going to be scared to death. They're not going to understand it. But there's a voice. There's going to be a voice that explains it. Verse 24, for no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. So we see that today with many of the ministers out there, with these false prophets and apostles that are setting themselves up as apostles and prophets. Many of them are already calling themselves one of the two witnesses or the two witnesses. And they're misleading God's people and leading them astray. And they departed from the truth. Doctrine that God restored through his apostle in the end time. And so there's many false visions out there. But the word of God is not a false vision, see, that he revealed through his apostles. Notice verse 25, for I am the Eternal, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed, see, because there has been a postponement. There has been a time of delay, like Mr. Armstrong said. See, for some reason, you go back and look at his co-worker letters from the last few years of his life. He said, for some reason, God has been holding back world events. And Mr. Armstrong maybe didn't fully understand it. Maybe he did and just didn't tell us that we were going to go into a time of testing. But the long and the short of it is, we know why. Now we can look back, see, hindsight, it's 2020, and we can see that we had to be tested. God's church was not ready, see, because now look what's happened. 21 years later, there's 400 plus splits and divisions. But listen to this again, verse 25, "For I am the Eternal, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass, and it will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Eternal God." See, so we're coming up very shortly, brethren, a time of no more delay, no more postponement. This word of God is going to be fulfilled. So says God Almighty. Verse 26, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, look, the house of Israel is saying the vision that he sees is for many days from now, and he prophesies of times far off." See? Verse 28, "Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed any more, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God." So there are still some today that hear the message from this website and saying, well, those things have been said for years. It's way off down the road. There's even many church groups out there and their leaders saying that Christ isn't coming till 2020 or 2030 or 2040, way on down the road. So they're postponing it, see? That's not what God's word says. So we're not going to be, time is not going to continue marching on the way it has. Now let's go on, move forward to chapter 13. "And the word of the Eternal came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel." See, someone's going to have to prophesy against the prophets of Israel, brethren, a spiritual and physical Israel, who prophesy and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. So see, those who prophesy out of their own heart instead of out of the word of God, need to pay attention. Verse 3, "Thus says the Eternal God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit," see, not God's, their own spirit, "and have seen nothing. Verse 4, O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert. You have not gone up to the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Eternal." See, no one's standing in the gap out there like they should be. These ministers have failed. Verse 6, "They have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, thus says the Eternal, but the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope that the word may be confirmed." See, they hope, but God has not sent them, any of them. Verse 7, "Have you not seen a futile vision, and have you not spoken false divination? You say, the Lord says, but I have not spoken." See, many of these men out there are saying that God has spoken to me, and this is what God's saying through me. Well, and it's not even out of the word of God, because God says he hasn't spoken to them. Verse 8, "Therefore, thus says the Eternal God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God." See, you shepherds, you ministers, and you self-appointed prophets and apostles out there, you better take heed to what Jesus Christ is saying in his word. Verse 9, "My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be," listen to this, "they shall not be in the what? Assembly of my people," see, his church, "nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know I am the Eternal God." Verse 10, because they have seduced, who? My people, saying peace when there is no peace. See, there's no peace in this world, brethren, right now, in this society. It's getting worse by the day and by the hour. It's going to get a lot worse, brethren, and I'm saying that on the authority of God's word. See, I have no authority, but God's word does. If I speak his word faithfully, then that's the authority. And his word says it's going to get a lot worse. We're going to be entering a time of the great tribulation soon. Verse 10 again, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace, and one builds a wall, and they plaster it with untempered mortar. Now you apply this spiritually, brother, and you can see what's happening to these, to God's church out here, all these splits and divisions. It's just very fragile. It's falling apart. Verse 11, say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar, that it will fall. See, you're going to fall out there, every one of you. All these little groups and splinters are going to fall. Just like a little cheap shack that's built at an untempered mortar. When the strong tempest comes, that storm, it's going to go flat. It says, continuing, it says, there will be flooding rain. See, that's a literal rain, but it's also going to be a rain of terror and destruction. And you, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall tear it down. See, because it was an untempered mortar. They don't have a feather not on the foundation, see. If we're built upon the foundation, then we're going to be stable. Verse 12, surely when the wall has fallen, will it not be said to you, where is the mortar with which you plastered it? Verse 13, therefore thus says the Eternal God, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger, and great hailstones in fury to consume it. Verse 14, so I will break down the wall you have plastered with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall. See, it will fall. And you shall be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Eternal. So this is part of the warning today, brethren, going out from this website, to wake up, because these little splinters and splits of untempered mortar, little plastered shacks, individual churches of God are going to come down. God is going to purify his people, one way or the other. Verse 15, thus I will accomplish my wrath on the wall and on those who have plastered it with untempered mortar. I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who plastered it. Now listen, here it begins to identify, verse 16, that is, the prophets of Israel who prophesy concerning Jerusalem, see, God's church, and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Eternal God. Verse 17, likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people. See, I've covered this before. These are these daughters of God's church. Little splits and splinters. Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart. See, not out of God's word, but out of their own heart. Setting themselves up to be this or that. Prophesy against them, says God, and say, thus says the Eternal God, woe to the women, see, these Laodicean churches, it's women, plural, woe to the women, and we know biblically that a woman symbolizes a church, women, plural, who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people? See, this is referring to God's church he's talking about. And keep yourselves alive, and will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die, and keeping people alive who should not live, by your lying to my people who listen to lies. See, that's part of the problem of my people, of God's people, is that they listen to lies. So today, many, many of God's people are listening to lies, friends and brethren. I'll continue on. I was going to stop here, but just a few more verses. Verse 20, therefore, thus says the Eternal God, behold, I am against your magic charms by which you hunt souls. See, these are your gimmicks, these individual churches, these women, the gimmicks that these ministers and leaders use to lure people in and to deceive them. See, God says, I'm against your magic charms by which you hunt souls like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand. See, my people, God says he's going to deliver them out of your hand. And many are going to be delivered, some now, but some during the tribulation when they begin to wake up and realize they've been deceived. And those two witnesses will be pointing them the way back to the truth and the foundation and saying to them that, yes, you have to die to save yourself, physical death, but and if you repent and return to Jesus Christ and follow Christ now, you will be in that first resurrection. Again, verse 21, so I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand. They shall no longer be as prey in your hand, and you shall know that I am the Eternal, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous. See, now who's righteous on this earth? See, what God always considered His church as righteous. But now they're deceived and scattered and splintered, and many of those righteous are already becoming wicked. See, God calls those wicked ones now because they've turned from God. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you have strengthened the hands of the wicked, so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Therefore you shall no longer envision futility or practice divination, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Eternal. He says that about four or five times in this one chapter. So that's concluding from that chapter, but I just wanted to bring that to our attention, brethren, because this is the time that we're entering into. Great deceit. We're already in it. And as I began there in chapter 12, in verse 17, and 18, and 19, it talks about all this is because of the violence of all those who dwell in the land. So, you know, we're seeing an increase in physical violence in our national country, Israel or Manessa, the United States, and indeed all over the world, it's increasing. But do we see the spiritual violence as well that's been going on, and it's increasing? See, that the deceit from these shepherds is getting stronger and stronger. They're making some stronger claims out there. Many are writing books, you know, nice looking books that are very deceptive, making some pretty wild claims in them. But The emphasis of this message, brother, is to follow Christ. Follow Jesus Christ. Turn, please, to Matthew chapter 9. I just want to point out a few things here, and you can study this on your own sometime, because I'll just hit a few of these. Matthew chapter 9. And notice verse 9. It says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Simple that. If you get a red letter Bible, it's just two words there in red. Follow me. That's what Christ is saying to us today, brethren. See? That's what he's, and I've gone over and over again. I keep pointing back to Revelation 3:20-21, where Christ says he's standing at the door and knocking. If anyone answers, he will come in with that person and dine. See, Christ wants us to follow him, not a man. Follow him. But you can look through a concordance sometime and look up the word follow. That's basically what I did. And you'll find there's many times where Christ just uses those two words, follow me, over and over and over again. So I won't go through all of those for sake of time. But he does use those two words a lot, follow me. Notice Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Notice in verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. See? He goes on to say, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, notice Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, we'll begin in verse 16, through the rest of the chapter, actually. Verse 16. It says, now behold, one came and said to him, that's to Christ, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17, so he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 20, the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, verse 21, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me, Christ says. Verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So he didn't really want to follow Christ that much, did he? He just wanted to have the appearance of it. Today, it's another problem, the appearance of following Christ, but not truly following him. Verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are impossible. So look at the first part of that sentence. With men, this is impossible. See, but today, men that have put themselves in leadership positions in God's churches out there are wanting you to go by their doctrine and their way. And many are saying that if you're not a part of this group or that group, you will not be going to a place of safety or won't even make it into God's kingdom because you have to be a part of their group to be in God's true church. That is not biblical. I'll state it again. So he says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Verse 27, then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Verse 28, so Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have what? Followed me. See, that's who. You, excuse me, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or lands, for my name's sake. See, in other words, in order to follow Christ. For my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. So, that's a good promise there for those who have trouble with family members at this time and having to discern what priorities to put in their life. Christ says, follow him, see, and you will receive eternal life. You can't put a price on that. That's the greatest treasure any of us could ever receive. Turn to Mark chapter 2, please. Mark chapter 2 in verse 14 says, this is Christ, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. So that's just similar to what we read earlier. Now notice John chapter 10. Covered this book before, but I'm going to put emphasis on something here. John chapter 10, notice verse 4. This is Christ speaking, and he says, and when he brings out his, he's talking about himself, the good shepherd, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. They follow him, for they know his voice. It doesn't say they follow a man or a minister. They follow him, for they know his voice. Notice verse 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Drop down to verse 27. Christ says here, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See? Follow me, Jesus Christ, not a man. Turn to John chapter 12, a few pages over. John chapter 12, notice verse 26. It says, if anyone serves me, see, if you want to serve Christ, listen, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. Wonderful promise there, brother. You want to serve Christ, follow him. And if you do that, the Father will honor you. Wonderful promise. So Christ wants us to follow him. But as we'll go on to see, as Mr. Armstrong taught, because he often said, "Don't follow me, brother. Only follow me as I follow Christ. But don't look at me, look to Christ." The same with what Paul said in the New Testament. He set a good example. So we should follow someone as they follow Christ. So we should be able to discern if someone is following Christ. And it's very simple, because Christ revealed his way in the end time through Mr. Herbert Armstrong, that way of Jesus Christ, his truth and doctrine. So if someone departs from that way, then don't follow that man. And today, God's ministry has departed. But notice 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and beginning in verse 6, it says, "But we command you," this is Paul, "we command you, brethren," see, this is who this is to, "brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly." See, that, note what that means. It's not in the order that has been established, see, "who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us." Verse 7, "For you yourselves know how you ought to," what? "Follow us." See, because they're following Christ. That's why, that's the only reason Paul would say that. "For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any." See, they set a good example. Notice verse 9. "Not because we do not have authority," see, that they did, they knew they did, "but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us." Isn't that beautiful? See? Notice 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And notice verse 21. It says, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should," what? "Follow his steps." See? Follow his steps, brother. Notice 2 Peter now. A couple of pages over. 2 Peter chapter 2. Notice verse 1. It says, "But there were also false prophets among the people." And here's the warning for today, too, brethren, because it's happening right now. "There are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you," see, "who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction." Verse 2, "And many will follow their destructive ways." That's what's happening today. And instead of following Jesus Christ, they're following these men in this destruction. "Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." Let's turn back to, that is happening today. We should be able to see that. Turn back to Psalms, please. Psalms chapter 118. Psalms 118, I just want to point out a verse here. Notice verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Eternal than to put confidence in man." See, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. But today, the vast majority of God's people are putting confidence in men. You know, all the apostles, even Mr. Armstrong, the last apostle of the church age, warned about this problem. Don't put your confidence in men. Trust in the Lord. Follow him. Notice Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. Beginning in verse 5, it says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man." Think about that. "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." Verse 6, "For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. See, today the people don't see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Verse 7, notice this. Blessed is the man, see, on the other hand, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. See, it's fixing to get hot, brethren, in this society. It's fixing to get very hot with the reign of terror and violence on the increase. And many of God's people are going to fear, but they shouldn't. But its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious. See, no anxiety if you trust God. You won't have to worry about having anxiety or being anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Notice Proverbs now. Proverbs chapter 12. And notice verse 11, it says, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. So today, many of God's people are following frivolity. Or it says in the margin here, basically what that means is vain things. See? He follows vanity or vain things is devoid of understanding. So today, many of God's people have become devoid of understanding because they're following men, following vain things, instead of following Christ. Notice Proverbs chapter 15. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 15, and notice verse 9. It says, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the eternal, but he loves him who follows righteousness. See? What is righteousness? It's right doing. How do we know what right doing is? It was revealed to God's people by Jesus Christ through his apostle here in the end time. That way of righteousness was restored into God's church. So God loves him who follows righteousness, that right doing that God has shown his people. But today many have departed from that, and as a result are becoming wicked, and they're becoming an abomination. God wants them to get out of that. Wake up, return. Notice Hosea, book of Hosea. And this is what I call a bad news, good news chapter. Hosea chapter 2. This whole book really has to do with the Laodicean time period. And as it goes in towards the day of the Lord, and the tribulation, the day of the Lord. But this is a analogy of God's people here in the end time. And that's made clear in the first chapter. But I want to focus on the second chapter because it's a bad news, good news scenario. But the bad news comes first. And it's very much like the message from this website today. And as Mr. Armstrong used to say many times in the beginning of his messages or the World Tomorrow broadcast, there's good news coming, but before that, there's bad news. There's bad news first, and there really is. But it's going to lead to good news if we'll heed it and wake up. So it's the same with this chapter. It's bad news first, but then it goes to good news. So let's begin in Hosea 2 and chapter 1. It says, say to who? Say to your brethren, my people, and to your sisters, mercy is shown. Verse 2, bring charges against your mother. See, this is what's happening to God's church today. The mother, as the church is also called our spiritual mother, bring charges, for she is not my wife, nor am I her husband. See, this is what God's saying here. Let her put away her harlotries from her sight. That's the problem. See, spiritual harlotry. And if you remember that message in the book of Lamentations, a bitter lamentation, it goes into more detail of what that spiritual harlotry is. Again, in the middle of verse 2, let her put away her harlotries from her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Verse 3, lest I strip her naked and expose her as in the day she was born. And now, pause some reading because we see from what the book of Lamentations says, there is going to be some exposure taking place for those who refuse to repent, even as some are repenting. God is going to expose what's happened to his people. Lest I strip her naked and expose her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. Verse 4, I will not have mercy on her children, for they are children of harlotry. Verse 5, for their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully. That's what God's people are doing today. For she said, I will go after my lovers. See, that's what's happening. Who give me my bread and my water. See, they give me the spiritual food that I want. Yeah, they speak smooth things. They give me the spiritual food I want. My wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way, God says, with thorns, and wall her in, so that she cannot find her path. This is what's going to happen to God's people soon. They don't repent and wake up. Verse 7, she will chase her lovers, but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband. Oh, now all of a sudden she begins to remember Jesus Christ, see? For then it was better for me than now. For she did not know, God says, that I gave her grain, new wine and oil. See, that's that food, physical and spiritual, came from Almighty God through his apostles, and that, including that end-time apostle. I gave her grain, new wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for what? For Baal. That's what they did in this Laodicean time period, this time of final exams. And I've mentioned that many times before. They're worshiping a false Jesus Christ, a Christ of their own imagination. So it's not the true God. It's a Baal worship. Verse 9, therefore I will return and take away my grain in its time and my new wine in its season. I will take back my wool and my linen. See, all this, they've ceased to be fed or blessed now, brethren, given to cover her nakedness. Verse 10, now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers. See, this is what it says over in Lamentations. I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. You look at this spiritually, what's happened to God's church, this spiritual harlotry, it's an abomination in the sight of God. It should make us sick to our stomachs when we think about what we as a church as a whole have done. And hopefully some are waking up and repenting and coming out of that. Verse 11, I will also, verse 10, I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and her all her appointed feasts. So these are people that are aware of God's holy days, see, and feast days. It's pretty obvious who he's talking about here. All these splits and splinters, this Laodicean churches. Verse 12, and I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, of which she has said, these are my wages that my lovers have given me. So I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. Verse 13, I will punish her for the days of the Baals to which she burned incense. She decked herself with her earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers. But me she forgot, says the Lord. That's what's happened today. They're forgetting who Jesus Christ is. They're forgetting who the true God is. And they think they're worshiping the true God, but they're not. And it's a sad, sad story, so the report is not good. But there is good news to come, because after the tribulation, as the tribulation comes and many of God's people are caught in it, there is still the encouragement for them through the two witnesses who are going to guide them. Now, of course, those two men will have many other things to speak about, but the first thing on God's mind is going to be those who are in danger of losing it all forever, which is his people. So that they're going to be giving God's people hope, those that are caught in the tribulation. Notice verse 14 now, and then we'll begin to see some good news as it turns around. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there, in the valley of Achor, a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth. See, years ago. As in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. So as Mr. Armstrong taught, Egypt is a type of sin, and when we were brought into God's church, we came out of sin. And we should be coming out of Babylon, all the ways of this society. God says, come out of her, my people. Verse 16, and it shall be in that day. See, this is a prophecy that's not fulfilled yet, says the Eternal, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. See, the first thing they have to do is, like in verse 13, they forgot who God was. They forgot the Eternal, the Jesus Christ, this God of the Old Testament. But they're going to have to, as they begin to remember, And God says, Christ says here, and it shall be in that day, says the Eternal, that you will call me my husband. See, what a wonderful time that's going to be. And no longer call me my master, for I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. And that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. See, this is a picture of the world tomorrow, brethren. It's a beautiful time. I will betroth you to me forever, verse 19. See, I will betroth. This is what God wants. But unfortunately, some are going to have to go through a horrible time of hell to get there. And they don't have to. Verse 19, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice. See, right doing and justice, loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Eternal. See, then they're going to know, really know the true God. Verse 21, it shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain and new wine and with oil, and they shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth. I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. How beautiful is that, brethren? What a wonderful way to encourage our brethren when the time comes. And it should be encouragement now for us. And it's also a warning. The first half of this chapter is a warning. It's the bad news. See? So, finally, let's look at Revelation chapter 14. The whole purpose of this message is just to reiterate our focus on Jesus Christ. That's our Savior. See? Not on any man. And if you do focus on a man, you better make sure he's following Jesus Christ and know what that means to follow Jesus Christ. But don't focus on a man. Don't ever focus on a man. Your salvation rests in Jesus Christ and him alone. Revelation 14. Notice verse 4. It says these. Let's begin at verse 1. It says, Revelation 14, verse 1, it says, then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Verse 4, notice this. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who what? Follow the Lamb. Follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. That's our goal. We want to be in that first fruit resurrection. And the reason why is because it says in verse 4, these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. So the question today is, are you following Jesus Christ? Am I following Jesus Christ? I hope I am. I hope and pray with all my heart that I am. And I was going to conclude there, but I want to touch on something here. I mentioned it earlier, Revelation 3, because this speaks to us right now. And our goal is to be in that first fruit resurrection. So, brethren, please put your focus wherever you are, whoever you are. Put your focus on Jesus Christ, not a man. And if you want to prove if a man is following Jesus Christ, go back and look at that foundation of truth that Jesus Christ revealed through his end time apostle and through all the apostles, the ones of the first century, but also from the 20th century, the end time apostle, and compare everything that's being taught, said, or read by any man against that plumb line. See, that's how we measure. And that's how Mr. Armstrong measured, that same plumb line. And so if anything is contrary to that, you get away from that man and seek Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, and soul. Notice Revelation 3, verse 20, and we'll conclude here. Behold, I Jesus Christ, the great God, our Creator, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I, see, Christ will do this, will come in to him or her and dine with you. See, dine with him, and he with me. In verse 21, to him who overcomes, see, if we overcome this Laodicean condition, the attitude that we're in, he will grant us to sit with him on his father, on his throne. I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I overcame and sit down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. But today there is a message going to the churches and to the church of God and God's people. If we'll just hear, if we have an ear to hear. And the message for today, my friends, is to follow Christ. That'll conclude this message. I hope it's been helpful. And until next time, take care. I love you all.